Praise the Lord. Let's rise up as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspiration, the encouragement that we should stand. Lord, we're going to stand. Amen. The strength of the Lord, we're going to stand. Amen. By the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, various church locations and various church denominations and various places we came from. Lord, when we're confronted by the enemy, by the opposers of the gospel, the power to stand, give to every one of us in Jesus' name. And all our brothers and sisters, fellow ministers who are here tonight, men and women, we know that when we go back to our various church responsibilities, all that we need to stand, you'll give unto us. We pray you hold the hand of everyone here, Lord. We will not fall. We will not fail. We will not falter. We will stand. If Jesus tarries and we come back again, we'll have testimonies of victory to share together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please, we can sit down. We come to this important subject now. We're talking about protecting the church, protecting Christ's church from apostates and antichrists. Protecting the church of the living God, from apostates and from antichrists. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through to 36. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant smote, slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David the shepherd, David the king, David the prophet, David the leader, David the overseer, David the forerunner of the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the sheep of his father, watching over the sheep. And he knew the number one thing to do is to protect the sheep, because the sheep are helpless and they cannot protect themselves. And he stood as a shepherd over them. And then a lion came. It wasn't timid. The ministry of the shepherd is not for the weak. It's not for the feeble. And it's not for the timid men on earth. It's for those who are strong, for those who are vigilant, and for those who know they'll put their very lives in their hands and protect the flock. And because of what he did, that's why God himself said, if this man can protect animals like this, he'll protect the flock of God. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, we're reading from verse 70. And see why God built on that faithfulness of David. And he took him from there to be the shepherd of his people. If you can protect the sheep like that, you'll protect my flock. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, the little lambs, great with young. That is, taking those, the ewes, that is, the pregnant sheep, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. And the Lord is showing us that if we're going to do the work of protecting the church of the living God from antichrists and apostates, we need this same strength. By the way, you know how David was described in 2 Samuel chapter 17. What he did was in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The description of this man, the lion-hearted man, the focused man, the courageous man, the strong man that protected the sheep from the lion and the bear. Look at the description of that man in 2 Samuel chapter 17 verse 8. For saith Hushai, that knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men and they be chiefs in their might as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field, and thy father David is a man of war. I will not lodge with the people. That's the description given about David, a man like a bear. Look at verse 10. And he also is valiant whose heart is as the heart of a lion. And it says, when the people, when they see that you have gone now, they shall utterly melt. For all Israel knowest that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. At the heart of a lion, the heart of a bear. And then the bear came to the fold, wanting to take just one little lamb. And then he rose up against that lion, and rose up against that bear, and he smote the bear and killed the lion. And if we're shepherds, true shepherds, we're going to do the same thing. But if we're hirelings, we're going to run away when the challenge comes. I will not be able to protect the sheep and the flock and the people of God. We're told in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, reading from verse 11. John chapter 10, reading from verse 11. Yeah, it tells us in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. That's telling us that when you are just a hired servant, a hired minister, a hired hireling, a hired shepherd, a hired preacher and minister, you're there for the pay. And you are there for what you are going to get, not what you are going to give. And when a lion comes, a wolf comes, or maybe a bear comes and wants to scatter the flock, you say, I need to run for my life. But David did not do that, and the Lord is telling us, his sheep are precious, the flock is precious, and we need to have that kind of heart, that when the lion comes, we're not talking about the lion in the forest, now we're talking about lions, the antichrist, and the apostates will be able to stand and be able to protect the people of God. Look at the language of Psalm 10 verse 9. Psalm 10 verse 9. And see the lions we're talking about. In Psalm 10 verse 9, he lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He does catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. That's talking about a man. That's talking about an antichrist. That's talking about an apostate. That's talking about a backslider. That's talking about a false prophet. That he secretly lies like a lion and is watching. And when the sheep, innocent and ignorant, when he come his way, he'll catch them and destroy them. Look at it from verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. That's the false prophet. That's the one that says, I'm so secured, I can do anything. I can even touch the church of the living God. I can scatter the people of God, and I can preach and work and fight against Christ, Antichrist. And I can fight and work against the progress of the people of God, apostate. And then he's not afraid of judgment. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in locking places of the villages. In the secret places does he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. Here comes now. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He does catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. And then he tells us in that verse 11, he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He takes the church as just a secular social club. And he says, God is not in the midst of the people. God has forgotten. God has too much to do in heaven. God has too much to do in the universe. God has much to do in his eternal purposes. And he's not concerned about the little church in that little village. He's not concerned about that little church in that corner of the community. He's not concerned about, you know, about human beings. He has too much to do. And the lion, all the wicked man, all the apostate, all the antichrist, all the false prophet, he says, he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see it. He says, whatever havoc I do in the church, whatever evil I do to the people of God, they will not see it, and God will not see it either. And I'm going to go scot-free. That's the attitude, that's the impression, and that is the motive of the Antichrist as well as the apostate. And it is ours to protect the church of the living God. We're going to do it. I said, we're going to do it. It means you're going to make up your mind. You'll not be a timid person. You'll not be a fearful person. You won't be a feeble person. You'll not be flinching on your feet, on your knees. And when you stand in the authority of the Lord and you declare the word of God, you don't look at any face or look at anyone, because there is a church to protect. And there are antichrists and apostates that want to destroy the church of the living God. And you stand in your full strength. And you stand in the energy and the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost in your life, anywhere and everywhere. And you don't have any favorite, that you are now a favorite, you're not anybody, a false prophet, to come into the church of the living God and scatter the church. God forbid. I said, God forbid. Protecting Christ's church from apostates and antichrist. Those two words, apostates, just for you to be able to make some connection. Apostates are the opposites of apostles. Apostles are the saint one. They are sent by the Lord himself. Apostates are also saints, sent by Satan. Apostles sent by the Savior. Apostates sent by Satan. Apostles, they are to build the church. Apostates, they have the intention of destroying the church. Apostles, they are to develop the church. Apostates, they want to ruin the church. Apostles, they want to construct. Apostates, they want to scatter, just remove everything. And they don't care for eternity. They don't care for the souls of men. Apostles, they are there to give everything they can give so that the church will stand. Apostates, they are there to bring the church down, and they're expecting the reward from Satan, Antichrist. The Antichrist are those who are anti. They are opposed to Christ. They are opposed to the will of Christ, the word of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and all the things that Jesus stands for today. They will stand against Christ. That's why they are antichrist. Antichrist are the people that say whatever Christ delights in, that one, that's what they're going to destroy. They want to cause as much sorrow of heart, as much havoc, and as much a kind of heartache to the Lord Jesus Christ in their activities. Antichrist. And they work on individuals, they work on families, they work on local churches. And if they can, they can work at the very source of the pure water of life coming to the church. They can work on the leadership of the church. And ours is to defend the church, protect the church from the apostates and the antichrist. We're going to do it. And we're going to do it effectively in Jesus' name. We're going to divide the message into three parts. Number one. Protection from the witch and the wiles of apostates. Don't minimize, don't belittle the strength of those apostates. The wisdom, the wiles, the witch, the strategy, and their cunning and their craftiness. But protection from the witch and the wiles of the apostates. Number two, preservation from the words and the ways of antichrists. Preservation from the words and the ways of antichrists. Number three, pastoral watchfulness of wise ambassadors. Pastoral watchfulness of wise ambassadors. Number one, protection from the witch and the wiles of apostates. Who are apostates? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm reading from verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened. The apostates were not people that never knew Christ, never knew the church. Apostates were people that you don't think that the people that never knew about the light of the gospel, it's okay to do that because they're totally ignorant. No, not ignorant. It says they were once enlightened and they have tasted of the heavenly gift and they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That's why they're, you know, their witch and their wisdom and their wiles, that's why they're very dangerous. They know everything the church is saying. And they know the words, they know the doctrine. And they know the lifestyle. And they know the conditions of getting to heaven. And then they now come to on the opposite side with all they know. And they want to be able to hinder the church from marching forward. It says in verse 5, and they have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away. Apostates are people that were once in, but now they are out. They were once standing, but now they are falling. Not just falling to rise again. They are falling away. There's a difference. When somebody falls, rejoice not against me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. That one has not fallen away. He just fell. Oh, foolish Galatians. Paul the apostle said, what's bewitched you? That you did run well. If you go back to that circumcision, you're falling. Then he says, I'm traveling in birth for you again, that Christ will be formed in you. They fell, but they can't really rise. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And when you are converted, you'll come back. He fell, but he rose. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But these ones, they fall away. It says in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. See, they crucify for themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Those are apostles. Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. And we're reading from verse 29 of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden down the Son of God. That's what apostates do. They're not just treading down the church, but on the very Son of God. And has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. These are not people that never knew, they never had a taste of the gospel of salvation, a taste of the truth and the experience of sanctification, of the power of the Holy Ghost. They were in it before. And then it says now, they have counted that blood of the covenant which we were with. They were sanctified, an unholy thing. And they have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For ye know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now we're talking about protecting the church from the witch, from the wiles of the apostates. If we're going to talk about apostates, do you remember Judas Iscariot that followed Jesus Christ, heard every message? And even was an officer in that assembly of the people that followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something? Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 26. I'm reading from verse 14. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And then in verse 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And the point I want to make here is that Judas Iscariot, he was both apostate and antichrist. Now he was opposed to Christ, and he wanted to sell Christ for money. And he didn't worry about the pain that will cost the Lord. He didn't worry about the pain that will cost that little assembly of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. All he wanted was what he could gain out of that deal. But the point is this: the Lord Jesus so protected the 11 that Judas Iscariot had no influence on them at all. Can you imagine that? That the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew the future of Peter and John and James and the rest of the apostles. And he said, yes, I know who I have chosen. And he said, Lord, my Father, of those that you gave me, I lost none. I protected them. And he protected to the point that even the Judas Iscariot, he was going in and out with them, holding the bag, carrying the bag, and then doing everything. And they thought it was one of them. But he had no single influence upon the rest of the disciples. They were well protected. And the Lord protected him to the point that he should have knowledge that Jesus has carried out whatever being what was going to do. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And then when you read John chapter 13, and he was saying, is it I? And Jesus even said, what you do quickly. And Judas has got, he understood, but the rest didn't understand. They thought he meant, what you want to buy for the poor, go and do it very quickly. Don't waste time. Those poor people are suffering. Care for them very quickly. The point is, Jesus so protected his people that even that apostate in their midst and that antichrist in their midst never had any iota of influence or control upon their lives. And so that's what the Lord is telling us to say, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. That no matter how near those apostates are, no matter how near those antichrists are, you will be a shepherd, you will be a pastor, you will be a leader, you will be a teacher of the word of God. That those apostates so near physically, they will not be near enough spiritually to be able to corrupt the people and then destroy the people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, protection from the witch and from the wiles of the apostates. 2 Corinthians 11, we're reading from verse 13. For such are false apostles. Did I tell you? Apostates are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They may look like apostles of Christ. That's for a purpose. That's for a goal. That's to achieve what they want to achieve. And then it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What does the church need protection from such apostates? We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're looking at it from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Apostates are people that were there before. They knew about salvation before. The faith that gets us saved, they knew that. The faith that gets us sanctified, they knew that. They might deny it now. They may be denying it now because they have become apostates, but they knew it before. And the faith that gets us filled with the Holy Ghost and making us to know that the promise is unto us and to our children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They were in the faith before. They once earnestly contended for the faith once delivered unto the saints. But it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. That's what apostates do. And they're so wise and so crafty and so cunning, so deceptive to be able to do that effectively, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, they become hardened in their deception, in their evil. And they practice it. They train themselves to do evil without even thinking about the consequence of that evil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't do that, how are you going to protect your flock? Are you going to protect the church of the living God? Because the craftiness, the deception, and the wit, and the wiles, and the wisdom of those apostates, how will you be able to contradict them? And then they will sway the minds of people away from the real truth. That's why you study the word, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, a preacher, a watchman that does not need to be ashamed. Look at this in verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more godliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? All the apostles said that here we are, that if you don't watch, those apostates are there. And at that time, they were even still there. You know, sometimes what I preach, and you have to be very, very clear when you're preaching. You know why? The majority of people cannot go from interpretation to application by themselves. You have to make it very clear, very plain, that whosoever heareth will know that this is what you are saying. But you know, the preachers of today, they talk in generalities. The generalities so that nobody is offended, and they just give it out in parables, they give it out in metaphors, and they give it out in, you know, a kind of coded language that only the initiated, only the people that actually have gone into the word very well will understand. But the people that are just superficial in understanding, they will not understand. And if you're going to protect the church from the Antichrist and from the apostates, you have to spell things out very clearly. And you have to call a spade, and you're not kind of covering your word and kind of timid when you're talking. Look at Paul the apostle. Their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is, tell me the next word, that's a proper name, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Mention the name. You see, there are people that they're so timid. They want everybody to love them. And so if there's a false prophet, they never will be able to say directly, that's a false prophet. If there's any false doctrine, they'll not be able to, that is false doctrine. That is evil. They will not speak clearly because they're not trying to win the favor of God. They're trying to win the favor of man. And they want the apostles to love them, the antichrist to love them, and the false prophets to love them. But you have to be very clear, if you have the heart, the mind of Christ, and you have the same mind that he had, he wanted to protect his people, and he wants you to protect the people of God. And then Paul the apostle said in verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. They were there before, but they've lost it. The experience they got before is no more there. And Paul the apostle said concerning the truth, they were here before and they knew the truth before, but he says not they have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. He mentioned the false doctrine that they were preaching. He didn't just say, you know, there are apostates and there are antichrists and are false prophets. Church, be very careful. Am I going to be very careful? Where are those false prophets? On which road do they are they? In which house do they live? Which corner are they? And where are they publicizing and selling their materials? Tell me. So if you really want to help me, you need to tell me who they are. And you need to tell me what they're doing so that I will know what I'm going to avoid. It says concerning the resurrection, they have already, they say it's past. And they overthrow the faith of some. They overthrow the faith of some. They overthrow the faith of some. Let's say you're a mother and you have a few children. And these children, you love them. And your heart, you put your heart out in taking care of the children. And then a stranger, a neighbor, an enemy came and was sweet and biscuit and all these sweet, sweet things, and just lured a few of the children away. And then you want the children, they should come back home at night. And instead of all the five children coming back home at night, you only have three, and two are gone. And then the mother is searching for them. And then the children, they said, they wrote to the mother, and they said, Mommy, don't worry about us anymore. We're not convenient. We have a better mother. And we have a better place where we are now. Where are you, my children? We're in such and such a place. But don't look for us. We're convenient here. We're going to stay here. You're not our mother anymore. This is now our mother. And then mother comes back home. The heart is sad. And then the other three children are still remaining. What is she going to tell the three children? Is she going to say, children, be very careful. There are, you know, some false mothers. And they might take your heart away, so be very careful. But I want to be nice and protective to that woman. I don't want to mention the woman. I don't want to mention the name or address or anything, but just be careful. What a mother that will be. If you're a real mother, you're going to be very, very clear and say, children, you know, you were five, two are gone, but they're not dead, they're still alive. But they are now in such and such a place. And this other woman has captured their hearts. I'm sorrowful, almost unto death. And because of that, you three remaining, remain here with me. Don't let me be a mother that got pregnant and then I suffered through all that labor pain and I brought you to earth. And then I don't want to be rid of the whole of you. Be very careful. That's the address of the house, that's the name of the woman, that's the stature of the woman, that's what he has done. Don't get near her. That's the mother. If you're a real, real pastor, and you know apostates making people to deny the faith and to go away from the faith, and then you're not clear, what kind of pastor will you be? And what kind of shepherd will you be? Protect the sheep from the wit and the wiles and the craftiness and the cunning of those apostates. Look, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 4. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately, privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That's the purpose of the apostate and the antichrist, to bring us back into bondage. to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not an hour. See that. That's the heart of a real pastor. That's the heart of a real shepherd. We give them chance, place, no, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That's the reason why you're protecting the sheep. You want the truth to continue with the people of God. Second Peter, I'm reading from chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. It says, they'll privately bring in damnable heresies. Now, the heresies are not just innocent heresies. You know, some people say it doesn't matter what other people teach. We're teaching the truth anyway, and we'll teach our people the truth. Whoever wants to teach them another thing, let him teach them anything. It's like the mother saying, I'm giving good, balanced food to my children. And whoever wants to bring in poison, let her bring the poison. And let the children eat what they want. After all, I'm just giving the good, balanced diet. It doesn't work that way. That little poison can destroy the lives of your family. And the same thing in the church. You cannot just, you know, just hand over and just say, it doesn't matter. I don't like this, you know, honestly contending. I just want to be gentle. I want to be nice. I want to pet people. Just love everybody. Just put your arms around everybody and say, praise the Lord. We're all going to heaven. I'm sorry. We're not all going to heaven. You can't tell Judas, come on here. We're all going to heaven. Judas says, no, I'm not with you. I'm just physically there. And that's the reason why you cannot just put your arms around everybody. Of course, you need to greet everybody, be nice to everybody. Like Jesus was nice to everybody. And he protected the sheep in such a way. He didn't report even Judas to the people, but he made sure he protected the people. But Judas was of another spirit. And when you find a man like that, a woman like that, might be in our midst. I'm not talking of our invitees. I'm talking about our people who are here. And you know, we're here all together, going in and coming out. And then you see the action. And you see the kind of things that are done. And you say, this one is not walking with us. It's walking against us. Everything we preach, he has a way of approaching it. And it's so nice. He does it so nicely and so cleverly. And you know, and he doesn't miss any meeting at all. Doesn't meet any congress. And doesn't miss any retreat. Doesn't miss any conference. It's always there. And he dresses like us. You cannot tell that this one is a different individual. And you know, and yet in the secret, everything you plant, you uproot. Everything you build, it destroys. And when you want to pray that the church will move forward and have that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, it's busy, you know, talking behind and saying, hey, are we going to pray the whole night? Why don't we pray the whole night? Jesus consecrated the whole night praying. What's wrong with that? Pray for the whole night. And then we read the scriptures. Are we going to read the whole scripture? Why not? Judge Muller, when he became converted, he read the whole Bible 4 times in the year. Genesis, Revelation, 4 times in the year for many, many years. Why don't you read the whole Bible? And you know, these people come behind and they say, well, they're too serious. Why not? Why are you not serious? Satan is serious. False prophets are serious. And the backsliders are serious, and sinners are serious, and they commit sin with both hands zealously. Oh, you're not going to be serious for Christ. And then they go behind everything that is planted, they uproot. We're not going to give them any chance. We're going to stand heart with heart, hand in hand, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's our calling, and we're going to do it. I'm going to read that Galatians. We're now in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation nations slumbereth not. I'm looking at it now from verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. He's telling us here that, you know, they go behind and they'll say, you know, all that thing they're saying, holy, holy, holy. That's a hard way. Who wants to be holy like that? And sweat and be holy and carry the cross and sweat and then go on that difficult journey. Come on here. I'll show you an easy way out. And you know, Christianity is not as tough as that. They make it so difficult and so tough. You pray, pray and pray and pray your hearts out and you fast, fast and fast until you become like a stick. And then you're kneeling down there until your knees look like that of the camel. It's not like that. There's an easy way because of this. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants and the slaves of corruption. That's why it says, don't listen to them. Those people, they are wise and they're going to deceive. They will not deceive you in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 20. Take heed to that. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this. Paul the Apostle, for I know this. Paul the Apostle said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Think about this. But I thank God, you know, he said, after my departing, after, not while he was there. Paul the Apostle, the stature of that man, the strength of that man, the ability of that man, the sharp-sightedness of that man. He said, I know, while I'm here, we're not going to give them not an hour, but I know after my departure. And you should be able to say that by the grace of God, as long as you are there, standing for the truth, contending for the faith, holding on to this faith once delivered unto the saints. Brothers and sisters, you don't want anybody to scare you out of the ministry you have labored for. What kind of man will you be? All your earnings, all your income, you bought a land. All your income, you built a little bungalow there. And then somebody that didn't labor on anything came and then he just frowned at you. And you're so timid, so fearful that you ran away and you left the house that you built with all the resources you had on earth and left it to the man. I don't want to die. You don't want to die? Naboth said, hey, Ahab, let me serve you notice. I'll give my life for this, the inheritance of my fathers, and I will not give that to anybody. Call his name Ahab and call his wife Jezebel. This is mine. A church that God helped you in that locality, in that region, in that state, and you labored and prayed and preached and had crusade and had everything, and then somebody that didn't go through the heat of the day, it just comes now, and then it terrifies you, a stranger that we don't know, and then you become so timid and then run away. How can you do that? You will not do that. Even if you have to seal your testimony with your blood, this that God has raised up through you, it will stand, and you will stand in Jesus' name. That's why it says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves. Of your own selves. Somebody who had listened to Paul the Apostle in all the messages he ever preached in that church. And he said, of your own selves, among the people that have listened, of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You know, sometimes somebody comes and he says, you know, God has given you a ministry. What if God has given you a ministry? Go empty-handed. Don't take our members to go and build up a new ministry he has given you. And we who are members here and ministers here, you're not going to allow someone to come. I have a ministry. You have a ministry. What do you have a ministry? I have a research. Okay, go there. Don't take me with you. I will not go with you. I said I will not go with them. and you will not go with them in Jesus' name. Anybody has a ministry, that's all right for him. If he has had a call, if he's hearing a voice, I have not had that voice, and I'm his father in the Lord, I'm his pastor. And if he has had a voice, okay, go where you want to go, but understand, we're standing here. I said we're standing here. And so you're not going to allow anybody to just come with all these, their techniques and mechanics or whatever, and say they have something, they want to take you somewhere. They don't take you anywhere. You and I, we're going to make the rapture together. That's a commitment. That's my commitment to you. That's my commitment to you. And you know, anywhere I go, I come back home to the headquarters here. I can go to Europe, go to America, go to Asia, but I come back. I know my roots. I know where I belong. I always come back. And the same thing with you. Anywhere you go to your region, you go to your state, you go to your nation. January, you always come back here. Because this is the church where God has planted you. And you're not going to allow any apostate or any antichrist anywhere to sway you or to turn you to another direction. It says in verse 91, therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Point number two. Point number two, preservation from the words and the ways of Antichrist. We're looking at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. There are Antichrists. The Bible says so. We're looking at 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Seduction. Seduction. They'll present the false doctrine, a sugar-coated mouth for some reasons, you know, because of this and because of this and because of this. And everybody in the world, in all the churches in the world, this is what they're doing now. That's what they're doing now. And if you allow that to sway you, there are many antichrists in the world right now in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, whereby know ye the spirit of, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come. And even now already, it is in the world, the spirit of the Antichrist. You don't want to be ignorant. You don't want to be so simplistic and a simpleton to say that anybody that mentions Christ, anywhere they carry Bible, anything they say, once they believe in God, pagans believe in God, believe in God. Heathens believe in God. Believe in God. Other religions believe in God. Bible. Other people carry Bible too. They read the Bible too. Check up. And it says test the spirits to know which one is of God. Why do you do that? Because you want to protect yourself and protect the church of the living God from the apostates and the antichrist. Look at 2 John. 2 John. You know, but John is referred to as the apostle of love. But when it comes to false prophets, John will not love false prophets. John, if you love Christ, you cannot love the antichrist at the same time. You cannot love Satan and the Savior at the same time, Christ and the antichrist at the same time. And John loved Jesus Christ so much that he will not give any attention to the antichrist. Look at 2 John reading from verse 6. 2 John reading from verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning. There's no modern doctrine. Beginning. Go back to the very beginning. That's why you'll find those of us who have been in this life from the very foundation, from 1973. we still believe that same doctrine, salvation all through to the time, to the eschatological teachings. We believe the same thing. Might be able to, you know, put it across in, you know, a better way, in a more convincing way, but we still believe the same thing, that which we have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers, how many believers, how many deceivers? Few? Some? You know, some people act as if, well, you know, the pastor is preaching like that because maybe in a city here in Lagos, he has seen some false prophets. But you know, in our own city, it's not like that. In our own region, it's not like that. In our own state, it's not like that. You know, in our own state, in our own country, everybody is just following the Bible, to, you know, just like that. And maybe Nigeria looks peculiar. This Nigeria, look at the way they are preaching in Nigeria. Looks like there's so many false prophets in Nigeria that the pastor has to, you know, emphasize this with those Nigerian believers. It's for the whole world. It's for everyone. It says, for many deceivers are entered into where? Tell me out loud. It's in your community too. It's in the world. Who confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. John spelled it out. And John made it clear. The apostle of love did not hide it under his tongue when he preached on this. Look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have done, which we have wrought, or that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's the word of God. You know, sometimes there are people that have all these false doctrines, and then they're breaking them down. And sometimes they want you to buy. And, you know, they have salesmen. And they might, you know, choose you and choose you and choose you there. Would you be the salesman to help me distribute this? And if you say, of course, yes. Have you read everything there? And, you know, sometimes I'm quiet, you know, about some people. But, you know, we had a Sunday service. Just, I think that was the year before, 2008. And this individual came in and he brought a book in his hand. And, you know, when he brought the book, I greeted him. Normally when you meet people, you have to greet them and you have to look nice to them. And of course, we had known before, he was a missionary of another denomination in a West African country. And then he brought the book out after the service when I was CPU for counseling. And he said, you know, my brother, you know, this book, you know, there are prophecies there. And I said, what prophecy is there? And he told me the prophecy. And he said, you know, evangelist so-and-so has, you know, endorsed the prophecy. And so has endorsed the prophecy and such. And gave me all these, you know, endorsements of the prophecy. What's the prophecy? That Jesus Christ will come before President Bush gets out of office, 2008. And this is somebody I had respected, you know, all the time. I'd known him. I was surprised when he said that. And he said, this is the book. And he said, you know, this one, he said, Pastor Kumoye, I know you. I know that you stand for the word. And you believe in the second coming of Christ. And Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And then he gave me some message. Tell the church. Tell the church. All this large crowd you have, tell them that Christ is coming. Before President Bush leaves office, that Christ is going to come. Then he told me of the names of the big international evangelists that endorsed that prophecy. And I said, well, thank you very much, sir. You know, I always say sir to everybody, whether they're junior to me or they're older than me. I just say thank you, sir. And I kept the book. And I said, well, see. And in 2008, President Bush left. Who is there now? Obama. And what happened to all the people that endorsed that prophecy? What happened to that man? I thought the man would come back one of our Sunday services and ask me, have you read the book I gave you? Then I'll ask him, have you seen that President Bush is left? the you know, the White House, and now it's Obama that is there. As Christ come, if Christ has come, what are you doing here? What am I doing here? Has he come? I said, has he come? I'm going to ask you a question. What if when he came to me that time, and he told me about that prophecy and showed me all the endorsements, and he told me I should tell my church, and that if I want other copies of that book, that he had, that he was the agent, the distributor in our country in Nigeria, and he'll give me thousands that I want, because we need to prepare the church for the coming of the Lord, and he's going to come before Bush leaves office. What if I got hundreds of thousands of copies from him to be their salesman, and then I distributed that to you, and I said, church, this is prophecy, read this one, read this one, and then you accepted my word, and then Bush is gone and Obama is come, will I be able to stand before you and be preaching now? The shame that I distributed false doctrine will not allow me to stand. And when you take something like that, you don't know the origin. We're very careful. Yes, we fellowship with people, we interact with people. We're very careful when it comes to doctrine, the doctrines of the Bible. Ask any of the people that we have invited. Anywhere I go, I preach this same Bible. I never go to any place where they have to muscle my mouth and make me change my conviction in the Word of God. Yes, I go places, but in those places I go, I stand by what I know is the truth of the Word of God. And that's the stand the Lord is calling every one of us to. We're going to interact with many more churches, many more ministers, but we're not going to sort pedal on the teaching of the Word of God. Let the church say, amen. Amen. And so here we learn that we're to prevent the church and preserve the church from the ways and the words of the Antichrist. Do you see what the apostle said there? He said, he that bideth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's the reason why we need to be very careful and very watchful. We're not going to allow anything at all to take this away from us. We're looking at Jude verse 3. In Jude verse 3, yeah, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should, what? Lazily, in a lukewarm manner, sleepishly, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly content for it and stand for it. There's nothing else to do. It's the word that we're going to preach. We'll preach it till the end of our lives in Jesus' name. Point number 3, pastoral watchfulness of wise ambassadors. Pastoral watchfulness of wise ambassadors. We're looking at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. And I'm reading from verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 33. Reading from verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. I don't want the blood of anyone to be required at my hand. That will say, I listened to you for one whole year. I didn't hear about the necessity of living righteously by the grace of God. I want to be able to say that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I've declared unto them all the counsel of God that the Lord has taught me. In verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his wicked way, from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We will not perish with the sinners. We will not perish with the backsliders. We're going to deliver our souls in the name of Jesus. Give me a good amen. Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles, we're looking at here from chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we're looking at here from verse 17. And from Miletus, a saint to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You know what I've done, how I've preached, how I've emphasized it at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Nothing will move you. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shown to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. He said, I've not been negligent. I've declared unto you the totality of the gospel from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. And if you have been coming to a Bible study for the whole year, you will know we go from Genesis to Revelation. Well, we never say, well, that's a difficult passage. That's a passage we don't want to touch. And if you come on a Sunday worship, you know that will give you a chance to ask any question concerning the scripture, any part of the Bible. And when you ask, we don't shy away from it. We give you the answer. And we're responsible to God to make sure that you have the truth, because it's the truth that saves, it's the truth that sanctifies, and it's the truth that sustains, so that our people be saved and sanctified and sustained. That's why we preach the whole world, and we can say to everyone, we have not shown to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And now Paul spoke to the other leaders, he transferred it to them, and I'm transferring it to you now. Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. What are you to do? To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You will do it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The time has come in the world in which we are living that people don't want sound doctrine. They just want this petting at the back and this motivational talk and just, you know, making them feel high and feel stimulated. They want all the joy of the pop houses and pop psychology. That's what they want. It says the time will come, and the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and then they'll return unto fables. Then in verse 5, but thou watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and then make full proof of your ministry. And I pray that you'll make full proof of that ministry in Jesus' name. And when the Lord shall come, yours will be the reward in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. That the Lord will help us, sustain us, uphold us, that we'll be steadfast in the truth, in the word of God. Steadfast in the truth, in the word of God. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. There are apostates out there. Apostates are the opposite of apostles. They want to ruin the church. They want to destroy the church. They want to water down the gospel. They want to give poison instead of the real meal that saves, sanctifies, and sustains. They want to destroy. They want to uproot what I've implanted. And the Lord is saying, watch. Protect the church. Protect yourself. Preserve yourself. Preserve the church. Preach the truth. Preach the word. In season and out of season. Every time and everywhere. Lay your life on the line. And don't be a person that is seeking for the praise of men at the expense of the stability of the church. Keep on standing. Standing on the truth. Standing on this word, the eternal word, unchanging word, that the spirit of the conqueror that will not compromise will come in you. And when lions come and bears come wanting to take away the members of the church you belong to, you'll stand. And you're not going to trade the sheep in your flock with money or for money. Are you looking for money? Praise of men, applause of men, prestige? Stand on this everlasting gospel, the everlasting truth, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Those saints sealed their ministry with their blood. Rise up and do the same. And keep on standing until the very end. No compromise. If you see any apostate around you, don't give in to them. Anybody with attitude, with action, that want to derail us, destroy us, destroy the doctrine, bring frivolity and carelessness and hypocrisy into our midst, bring backsliding to our members, bring false doctrine and strange fire, watch. Anybody that wants to bring worldliness, analogy, any Jezebel, very courageous and bold in their evil, and they don't care, they have no respect for anybody. Their goal is their goal. And they want to intimidate the Elijah that is on the pulpit. You don't want to run away like Elijah. You're saying, it's enough, let me die. You don't want to die now. And leave the flock in the hands of Jezebel and Ahab. If Elijah cannot stand, who else will stand? If the prophet of fire cannot stand, who else will stand? The angel came from heaven and gave him food. And he went to the strength of that food 40 days. Take more of this bread of life. Let fire come in your soul. Strengthen your spirit. Power, unction, anointing come upon you again. So be able to run again. Do the work again. Daddy, I'm sure you're not afraid of your children. You're in the faith before those children were born. And a little child that you gave birth to, you brought to the church. You preach and they got saved under your ministry. I hope that that little child who got saved in your ministry, that has become a worker now, will not kind of so intimidate you, the spiritual daddy. That now you're running away and you leave the church in the hands of those ignorant people, intimidating leadership. You can't do that. What are you afraid of? Afraid of dying? God doesn't need an orator. He doesn't need anybody that will kind of, you know, use all these gadgets and everything. He just needs a few men who are not afraid to die. At your post, standing for the truth, for this eternal truth. Pray that the Lord will give you that same heart, that same mind, that will stand and keep on standing. And don't leave the church in the control of the hands of backsliders, of babies in the church. Let the father stand. Let the mother stand and take charge. Pray that the Lord will keep you faithful, keep us faithful to the very end. He that overcometh and keep my word, my works unto the end, I will give him the crown of life.